When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When my wife says that she's really dreading something and she has a pit in her stomach about something, I don't say, yeah, go ahead and do it. I say, don't do that thing.
Yeah.
Stop. Like, I will do whatever I have to make and it so that you don't have to do that thing. Yeah. But it's like, why? Oh, you don't want to do that? And it's causing you so much anxiety that you can't sleep or eat? How about we just don't do that?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that was an option. It is an option. Just don't
do
it.
It's so an option. It's 100% easier to not do something than it is to do it.
Yes. You could get a restraining order on this guy. You could buy some pepper spray, and you could virtually guarantee that he doesn't come anywhere near you ever again.
Oh, my gosh.
Think about that.
I know it hurts. I'm sorry. It's not your point. All right. You came to the right place, you ding-dong. It's called communication, baby.
Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast that gives good dating advice. It's your boy Ethan.
And I'm Patrick, dude.
Am I wrong?
No.
God forbid.
I've only ever listened to our podcast. So James, pretty good dating advice. Some of my That's greatest right. hits for him from him are don't commit adultery. Don't use contraception. That's like some of my favorite advice from James.
It's pretty good advice. It's pretty solid. He's very
sound
straightforward.
Teaching.
Yes.
Indeed.
I think it's important for men,
we haven't introduced
for people.
The show.
Oh, sorry. We do a dating podcast.
Welcome to Dr. Ethan's Dating. I remembered this time. Welcome to nice. Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner, a special edition of the Crunch Catholic Podcast, where I, Nurse Patrick, Nurse Practitioner Patrick, bring patients to Dr. Ethan, who's a PhD in dating. We get a bunch of dating advice, dating questions from you guys. We give advice every week on Wednesday. If you want to submit dating questions of your own, you can go to bit.ly/crunchdiscord, go to the Dating Corner channel, and you can submit a question there. We'll see it. It'll go in our queue, and someone will probably answer it before the end of the day because those people are crazy in there. They got a bunch of advice. So if you want advice immediately, bit.ly/crunchdiscord.
That's a great little advertisement, as they say, across the pond.
Right over there on that
for
pond.
Our show, man, we got to go back to Heathrow. We've got
Dude,
to
we gotta
get
go back,
back
to, London.
To London. I think we should do CrunchCon 2026, the hills of the English countryside. We find and lease a castle. Thoughts.
I agree. Now that it's the year of, I think at the end of the year of Ethan, we will have enough money for a castle. But this is not a banter cast.
No,
this
it's not. Sorry. We got to get right into the dating.
This is solely
advice
podcast. And sometimes people that ask us for advice have success or have follow-ups. And so today I have a follow-up from our April 17th episode.
Let's hear it.
This guy met a girl, choked and didn't ask her out. And then she shows up in his dorm room months later. Mm. He messages her and then she rejects him. Was questioning, you might remember he was questioning God's intentions. All right.
I get it. Yeah.
Update on this. As with any rejection, It was initially difficult, but I started to focus on other things and move past it over the next couple of weeks. That was until my roommate and his friend came back to our room the other night with the same girl and her friends. Apparently, they've been hanging out as a group a lot since this original incident. That really doesn't bother me. I don't own her and I don't own him. But this time he just brought them back to the common area of our quad. Dude, he brought her to the quad, bro?
The quad? The Dude. Breslin Memorial Quad?
He said I could stay in there if I wanted, but I didn't want to make it awkward for them. And it was obvious this girl was afraid of seeing me. So I just went to a different room. When she did see me, she didn't look my way or anything. Well, he did the same thing again last night. And they were in our room until 6 a.m.
Whoa.
Dude.
In the quad or in the room?
In the, they were in, I think they were in the quad.
Okay.
The common area of the quad.
I see. So it's four rooms connected with like a central area. I've seen this.
The way our dorm is set up, there's a thin wall between where they were and where I was trying to sleep. As you can imagine, it wasn't easy to sleep when I could hear this girl laughing and talking through the wall. I really don't think my roommate is trying to do anything with the same girl in particular. He was interested in one of her friends. And initially he encouraged me to reach out to this girl, but it's difficult for me to know this girl and her friends could show up at our dorm right now. Mm. I was fine with the initial rejection, but this just feels like rubbing it in. Man, that sucks. Dude.
Yeah.
You need to move.
What you need to do is when you hear them coming, you need to run out into the hallway really quick and paint like a tunnel over your door, like Wile E. Coyote. And so then instead of coming into your room, they walk through the tunnel and they find themselves somewhere else.
And then
paint
over it.
And then
so
you paint over it again. It's a brick
forever.
Wall. It's a brick wall. And then they try to come back and you just see their outline in the brick.
Yeah.
Could you try this?
Simple.
Yeah.
Man, I guess they can't all be winners, you know? So just keep in mind, results may vary, I guess. This question has sirens over it, and it was asked with urgency on the 24th of April. So we're a little behind the eight ball on this one.
Whoop, whoop.
But this is our first piece of advice.
It's my siren noise.
From Steph. Hello.
Steph
Curry? My sister is supposed to be getting married this August.
Okay.
But recently, okay, we got time. She has expressed doubts beyond cold feet. When she talks about her wedding, she says she has a pit in her stomach and that she needs to suck it up and just go through with it.
Ooh.
She broke out in a rash from all of the stress. There are many red flags. All seem to come back to her fiance believing that she does not understand men. This seems to be a catchphrase that he uses to excuse many unwanted behaviors. For example, he said he would use... Oh, boy.
Read it.
He said he would use... Like, the man said that he would... Not like he does it, but he will use homophobic slurs to show his sons that life is hard and they need to be tough. Girl, run!
That's so funny.
You're gonna suck it up and father his children? You're just gonna take one for the team?
What is his intended outcome of saying that? Like, babe, I'm gonna be such a good dad. Whenever our kid messes up, I'm gonna call him gay boy. What's up, gay boy?
You like men.
You like other men and you're six.
Ew. My gosh.
It's like, nice one, dude. Real great. You are just, you've got it. Who needs parenting books when you've got this guy?
I can't imagine saying that.
You ask this guy, you go up to this guy on the street, you're like, gay son or thought daughter? He says, thought daughter. He says it so fast. It's instant. He doesn't even think about it. He's like, I don't want
instantly.
Yeah.
Oh, man. For example, he said he would use gay slurs. All right. He makes jokes that make my sister uncomfortable. My sister's been growing in her faith, but feels like he is making fun of her for it. My sister wants to believe that he can change.
He's going to change. He's going to start saying gay slurs when he gets married. That's how he's going to change.
I'll say that after they finish reading the question. This is her first real relationship. My sister and her fiance are both 23. She's an overthinker and has a lot of anxiety. She's afraid she'll regret this decision and end up alone. This should be her decision. I don't want to push her, but I really don't think she should be getting married. I also don't think she should be getting married. I think that this. If she does and eventually does not want to be married, she could get an annulment. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
She does not want to marry this guy.
Don't. And if you can avoid getting an annulment, you should.
Yes.
Just don't. Man, the single, I think I said this in the Discord thread, but the single most important decision you make in your whole gosh darn life is who you marry. It's the most important thing. And so, like, when I was deciding to propose to Emma, I realized that a lot of my hangups were about me, about like my selfishness. And I was like worried that I was going to lose out on some things that I liked, which is true. You have to sacrifice when you get married. But as soon as I realized that it was nothing about her and it was everything about me, I was like, oh yeah, we should get married. But like in this case, it's not anything that that your sister is doing wrong. It's like all things that are wrong with the other person. It's not like, oh, I feel like I don't sacrifice well enough for him, or oh, I feel like I'm not good enough for him, which is something that, you know, I've heard before from women, or oh, you know, he works a lot and I'm not sure if I want to be okay with it, but I'm not sure if I am yet. Like, those are kind of different things. This is like, this is just a problem with him. And like, whether or not you like it or don't like it, it's still a problem. So it's like completely external to your sister, which should.
Yeah, if you were super on board with calling your children homophobic slurs,
the F slur,
I would also advise you to not get married.
Yeah.
If you're like, I think that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, if you're down with the F slur, marry him. You know, like that might be your thing.
No, I'm saying the opposite. If you want to do that to your kids, don't have kids.
Yeah.
Like if you're the kind of person that's okay with that, it's like don't get married.
Oh,
yet.
Yeah, he's only gonna use slurs for gays. I bet he's not gonna use any slurs for women ever. He's probably gonna totally
Yeah, that was the first thing that I said is like, girl, you gotta understand this is him on his best behavior.
Right.
Like he wants to get married, obviously. And so like this is him like he's at the top of his game. And so if he's at the top of his game and he's still like I'm gonna bully my children. It's not just about the homophobia. Like far be it from me, you know. Like jokingly calling your friends is funny.
It is. But like there's a context. It is funny. There's a time and place.
Yes.
But like when it's your child.
Yeah. But like I'm gonna bully my children to I'm going to manufacture hardship so my children know that life is hard. That's not fatherhood. That's just being mean. That's just misguided.
You're just a mean person.
You're just being mean.
Yeah. I think
stupid.
So I think you understand all of this implicitly. We don't have to explain this to you, but I think what you need to do is you need to call a reality show and have them come with cameras. You need to get Maury on the case. You need to get Dr. Phil in here. Like, no, don't actually do this, but you need to have an intervention. You need to get you and whoever else is on board with this, the bridesmaids, your mom, whoever, as many supportive people, look up, Google how to do an intervention, watch some episodes of TV that they do interventions in, learn the process, watch the intervention from The Sopranos where they try to get Christopher Moltisanti to stop doing drugs. As a way to not know how to do an intervention, because that's just a funny episode.
It was crazy.
But you have to get people together and just be like, we all love you. We are here for you. We think this is going to irreparably damage your life if you do this, because you think it's a bad idea. We all think it's a bad idea. This is like not a time to be like, oh, she has to come to her own decision. Like, it would be wrong of you to let her get married knowing what you know. And like knowing what she said, like you shouldn't dread your wedding. Like if she's told you like I'm dreading, this is the one thing that you should be excited for. You know, the wedding is supposed to be the best.
You can play this part for your sister. All right.
Yeah.
This is Big Brother Pat time. You're 23 years old. You have so much time.
Yes.
Why are you like? I understand. I also thought that my life was ending in 2 years when I was 23. You're anxious about the wrong thing. You're anxious about regretting not getting married. You can always get married later. The decision that you should be, the decision, like you can't get unmarried once you're married. You know?
Yes.
And I personally, my own personal opinion of this is that Like, if you're just getting married out of a sense of social obligation, I don't think that's you're actually I don't think you're actually getting married. I don't think you're actually contracting a marriage. Whoever's in charge of your tribunal might not agree with me, and that's whose decision matters in the end. And so, like, annulment's not guaranteed. A lot of heartache comes with that. And so, like, you can't undo it once it's done, but you can say, I want to pause the engagement. I want to push the date. And honestly, I think she should do that, because then it might reveal his true colors a little bit.
Yeah. You know? I want to pause the engagement. Instantly calls you a slur. Great. You've now learned.
Wow. I want to call off the engagement.
I've learned something. Great. You just pushed your luck, buddy boy.
Man. I'm really this is sorry a hard thing. In this position.
Yeah, this sucks, especially to be the person that's like supporting. It's like, I wish I was talking to the fiance, because I could be like, get out of there, run, evacuate.
Yeah, you got to do this though, because he's going to come into your family and then he's going to be your problem. And then, right. I mean, he's going to call your children slurs. Like, you can't, that's not cool, you know? Yeah. Like, I do have a vested interest in who my sisters-in-law marry.
Yeah.
I don't want them to suck, because they're going to be Leo's uncle, you know?
When my wife says that she's really dreading something and she has a pit in her stomach about something, I don't say, yeah, go ahead and do it. I say, don't do that thing.
Yeah.
Stop. Like, I will do whatever I have to make it so that you don't have to do that thing. Sometimes it takes a couple of times. Yeah. But it's like, why? Oh, you don't want to do that? And it's causing you so much anxiety that you can't sleep or eat? How about we just don't do that?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that was an option. It is an option. Just don't do it.
It's so an option. It's 100% easier to not do something than it is to do it.
Yes. You could get a restraining order on this guy. You could buy some pepper spray, and you could virtually guarantee that he doesn't come anywhere near you ever again.
Oh, my gosh.
Think about that.
That's hard. I'm sorry.
That is a sad one. Can we have a happy one? Can we have like a fun, loving, rootin' tootin' time that we could do?
Hey. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Ethan, I'm upset with you.
What did I do?
You got a free book in the mail, and then you read me the back of it, and I wanted to read it, but I don't have it.
Oh, just another way that I'm smarter than you and have more books.
Thank you. We have a sponsor. We have an author sponsored our podcast. A friend of Ethan wrote a book.
His name is Alec Molly, and his book, Out of Suns, you can find it on Amazon.com. Look up Out of Suns by Alec Molly. And I did get it in the mail and you didn't. And I think that's just because intuitively people know that I read and you don't.
That is the reputation probably that I've developed for myself as someone who doesn't read. Ew, yucky.
Yeah. And you definitely don't read books about two brothers that are going across the country together and wrestling with their faith in God and growing in friendship all because of a woman. That's not the type of thing that you
read the back cover, and I am a sucker for these kinds of like journey to a destination and like a subversion of the expectation. Yeah, sort of. Yeah, like a big transformative experience. You read that to me and I was like, I love it. Also, I love stories about love not working out and guys like, you know, it's good.
This is a story written by a young man trying to deal with the modern world for young men. Like this is, he's told me this is the book that he wished he would have had when he was in college, getting ready to marry his wife and all of these things going into grad school. So read Out of Sons. It's aimed at the boys, but I think the ladies could also benefit a lot from this book. If you got a boy in your life, go to Amazon.com, look up Out of Sons by Alec Molly, buy it. And there's no way to tell him that we sent you, but I think he will know because there's tons of orders coming in because you're all going to buy it. Patrick.
He'll know in his heart.
Yes. And maybe one day you'll learn how to read.
Thanks, back Alec Molly. That's M-A-L-L-Y.
M-A-L-Y.
M-A-L-Y-C-M-A-L-Y. Yes. Look up Alec Molly on Amazon. Thank you, Alec, for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch.
Back to the episode.
Hey, does anyone have advice on what to do when an ex's parent still reaches out? Okay. I've had a few big life updates since my breakup. I got a new job. I moved. Hey. I got into Notre Dame for grad school.
Oh.
When I made posts about those things to get that LinkedIn clout, my ex's mom commented on both of the posts. The first one, the move and the new job, was shortly after the breakup, and I didn't like it, but at least thought it was nice that she thought highly enough of me to wish me well. It's been 8 or 9 months now since this breakup, and I posted the grad school one, and she commented again, and I really just didn't need that. It's not happening for me socially right now in this new place, and seeing her mom's comments just made me miss her and her family, like my ex and her family. I had a rocky relationship with my own family, and her family was really great to me, and I liked them a lot, so I would hate to just go scorched earth and block them, but it just brought up a lot of old emotions when her mom commented. Maybe I should just block her, and maybe there's a nice way to say, please stop that. For context, I dated this girl for 2 years. Broke up because she couldn't come up with anything better than I don't know when I would bring up marriage and an ongoing 1 year of discussion of it. Obviously, I should have ended things sooner, but I was really ready to get married. Some days I feel like I'm over it. Other days I feel like I have no prospects and get frustrated. I just really miss what I had. Obviously, I haven't completely let go yet. There's still temptation to reach out, and I know I probably shouldn't. What do I do?
Have you considered that the mom... Have you considered that she's just a little, she likes you, man.
I do think the mom is pissed at her daughter for letting you go. That's probably it. I know moms, I'll tell you that much. And they're just like, you had a good one. Why'd you do that?
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, what you're asking my advice. I don't know. It's hard. It's hard because
comments.
Yeah, like it gets easier. Exposure is the best way to decrease sensitivity. That's the like if you are afraid of spiders, the best way to not be afraid of spiders anymore is to every day go to where spiders are.
Eat and like a spider.
Well, not eat them, but just like have one get within 5 feet of you. Okay. And then have one get within 4 feet of you. And eventually you can have one walk across your hand and like you'll realize that they're not going to kill you, but it's just like it's so freaky because you've been conditioned your whole life to be like, ah, kill it, run away, I don't like it, which is how I feel. I do not like spiders, man. I do not like them one bit. But when you're the man of the house, you must kill the spiders regardless of how you feel. Yes. And since you're a man, you have to learn how to desensitize yourself to the anxiety and the feelings that come from seeing things about this family. So like this, you could block the mom on LinkedIn. You probably don't want to do that because it just feels mean. So you just need to like get accustomed to the fact that she's going to post on your stuff. And if you post more often, which you should do, then she'll comment more and you'll just see it more and more. And then eventually it'll just become like a normal thing. Same thing with like, oh, every time I think about her, I like really miss her. I want to call her. It's like the longer that you go, the more often those thoughts will come up, the more often you'll say, no, I don't actually want to call her. These are all the reasons why I broke up with her. And then eventually it won't like hurt as much. It'll just be like a part of your standard operating procedure of like, when I think about her, it's like, oh yeah, I miss her, but it doesn't really hurt. You know, like, oh man, we almost had something. Oh, and eventually you just not think about it at all. Like you'll go a whole day without thinking about it. And so it's just like exposure and time are the only ways through. There's not really a key to, you can't shortcut things like this. Like pain and grief is pain and grief. And that's just,
it's going to last as long as it lasts.
Right. I mean, you can try to band-aid it by blocking the mom on LinkedIn, even though she maybe kind of wants to, you know,
she bad. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize to our many fans.
I do not apologize. I'm still hearing
sometimes
about
I make jokes and I go, I wonder what Maggie Ruby thought of that joke, you know.
That's the only thing I think about when I do this podcast. It's like, do the teens think that we're funny?
Because I'll find because out that's the future. I'll find out in a text in a couple of days, you know.
Yes, I'm so excited for when we go there to Indy and we get to be in the Ruval Cava house. We're just gonna cook those kids. We are going to, it's going to be a hibachi house.
Call them homophobic slurs to teach them. I'm sorry. No. I'm kidding. I'm sorry. That's so mean. I
would never
joke about that.
I would never.
So sorry.
We're just going to come in. Their heads are going to be spinning. They're going to be like, what is happening?
I've already met all the kids and I did not cook them. So you're going to have
really?
To cook them because I did not assert my dominance.
I'm good.
Well,
with the kids.
I wasn't gonna like. First of all, they're children, so my first instinct is not to, you know, dunk on them. And I had just met Luis, and so it'd kind of be weird to like come in and be like,
"No,
hey, nice
to
meet you."
I don't want to dunk on the kids. I want to get them rolling. I want to make them laugh so hard. That
oh,
they,
I see what you're saying.
I want to cook them.
Cook them. See, cook to me meant dunk.
No, I would have said dunk if I meant dunk.
That's what it sounded
no
like.
One says no one says let him cook when he's being mean to kids. Maybe that guy earlier says it, but
sure.
But let him cook is like, oh, he's being funny or he's doing his skill. Let him.
Oh,
cook.
Then I have a completely different reaction to what you just said. Because you want it, it's not going to happen. If you, it's. I'm sorry. As
I'm gonna
someone
cook
who
these
used
kids.
To be a youth minister,
I'm gonna take Hansel and Gretel and whoever else. I'm gonna put them on my little pot of stew. I'm gonna pop them in the oven. I'm gonna cook those kids, brother. In my gingerbread house.
I've lost all authority with the Ruby kids, and here's how I know. It's because when
Why?
Katie introduced when one of her kids asked, oh, what does Patrick do? She's like, oh, he's like the, and then she said the name of their youth minister. And I was like, instant.
It's over.
Yeah. It's absolutely over. But now I'm a cool just podcaster.
You're a podcaster.
Now I run a small business in my hometown.
When I was on the news today, the guy that was interviewing me introduced me as a comedian, which did
Hell
wonders
yeah.
for my self-esteem this
That's
afternoon.
That's so good. That Ethan was on One America News. Sorry, we didn't bring that up.
I was.
We should have brought that up in the Sunday show.
I know. I know.
Oh man, that's all time. That's all time. All right.
It was great. It was fun. I did a great job.
Oh boy. Last question, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Let's do one more.
I feel like this is only the second one we've done.
No, we did the slurs question, and then we did the mom my ex's mom wants me on LinkedIn question.
That's right. All right. Third question.
Yep.
For the pod. From the Catholic Baron. As a Catholic, I very well know that when you get married in the church, you're married for life. I also, this is good. I like when people start with their, like, you know, doctrinal awareness. I also know that some people say that because women get pregnant and men don't, that women like longer term relationships than men. Okay, I'm gonna read that again. I didn't really catch that. Since women, oh, okay, I see what they're saying. Women like long term relationship because uterus. Men just want to go around and make lots of babies. Okay. The best thing that I could think of is trying to separate a man's body from his soul, thus saying, okay, I'm very confused as the premise of this question.
I think the question is like, it's about the red pill.
Oh, like, okay. Why exactly are red pill people wrong about marriage? Okay, so red pill people are like, men are no better than any other animal, etc. How was marriage different before Jesus made it a sacrament? Was it similar? Was it more barbaric? In short, why are red pill people wrong about marriage? Not red people, excuse me.
It's so like naturalistically, evolutionarily, women gestate for 9 months and then produce life. And so it makes sense that the man who's fertile all the time and who doesn't take 9 months to recharge would have many mates, right? So like, it makes sense why humans are the way that they are. And it makes sense why the red pill dudes talk the way that they talk, is like having a harem of concubinage around you. And the red pill is wrong because Christianity is true. Like, it's kind of hard to go more fundamental than that. It's like Jesus yeah. Christ is Lord, and the Old Testament, Adam and Eve, man was given woman as a gift, one woman. Like, God didn't make multiple women in the garden. He made one, and he said, you are one flesh. And it's just two become one, not three become one, not four become one, not any other number. It's just two becomes one. And then Christ affirms marriage and elevates it to a sacrament when he comes. And so we know that woman is made for man is made for woman. When they come together, when a father leaves his mother, you know, the woman and the man become one flesh. So like, we just know from sacred history that that's true. And so when you talk about the red pill and all these things, it's like, evolution doesn't matter because I'm not an animal. You know, like, the way that men are built doesn't matter because I have a rationality that is higher than my base instincts.
Yeah.
Like, does my body react when I see like a picture of a woman, you know, that would be suitable for breeding? Sure. Cause that's just what the male body does. It like responds to physical stimulus, but like, I don't act on it, right? I don't go yeah. try to find that woman, and I don't try to mate with her because I'm not an animal, right? Because I've made a choice to be with one woman, and it's better that way because it's way more stable, and it's sociological and all those other things about like why family is the bedrock of society and all that stuff.
And but your reason can train your biology too.
Yes, exactly.
So you can make decisions over time that mm-hmm. teach your body to go, hey, that's not, you're not supposed to do that. And the body kind of like
right.
figures it out over time to the point where right. you're like,
you don't even
not
think about it.
You're not uncontrollable because you saw a boob on right. TV, you know? Cause at yeah. this point it's just, they're everywhere.
They are. So I think, I don't know. Red pill guys are addicted to pornography. They have porn brain. And so I think you just have to talk about what marriage is, what masculine and feminine relationships are, what's the point? Like, if they really believe the highest good is having sex with as many women as possible, and they won't disagree from that, it's like, all right, that's your highest good. I don't think that will lead you to any kind of significant happiness. And if they argue, yes, it will, it's like, all right. I mean, you can't really, if they don't want to change their mind, then they're not going to change their mind. But you know that there is a deeper happiness that consists of self-sacrifice, that consists of true love, true charity, true commitment, yes. you know, like picking up the cross. Like, that's where you find real happiness and real fulfillment. I think we all know that it's not in chasing tail.
Yeah. The reason why the red pill people are wrong is because they assume is means ought. Because something is this way, it ought to be that way. I don't know. Right. Ron's going to text me and tell me that I did this wrong. But the Hegelian dialect, what is that?
Oh.
It's like the is means ought. It's like,
you can't talk about Hegel at 8:45 p.m.
It's 9:45, but this is when I start talking about Hegel, baby. but it's like this idea that because something is, that must mean it is the way it ought to be. And so people, you get on the non-red pill people, you might say like the lefty people, are like, mm-hmm. oh, well, people have these homosexual desires, therefore it must be appropriate. And they'll mm-hmm. find reasons in nature why these things are appropriate. Like, oh, well, you know, boy dogs hump boy dogs sometimes. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
and if you're a person with a brain that like you is makes sense, you're like, that's not a good reason to do something. Monkeys yeah. throw poop at each other. Probably shouldn't do that. You know, it's like, just because an animal does it doesn't mean that we should do it.
Have you seen the video of the monkey demanding the banana and he's standing there like this?
Yes.
I love that video.
That's Karen. What I do. When Leo has like a knife, I'm like, give me the knife.
Peter did that today in the tub. He was standing like this and he had bubbles on his hand and he really wanted us to blow the bubbles out of his hand. And so he was just standing there like this, waiting for us to come over to him and blow the bubbles. And he's like, his little smile, he's just like, it was electric. I was like, man, you're a powerful boy.
The red pill, they make the same mistake. They assume that because a woman has a biology such that she's sexually off limits for a period of time and men have a biology such that they desire sex during that period of time. Ah, that must mean that they ought to have it. But that's just a fallacy.
Yeah.
So to speak.
You're a funny guy.
Thanks.
Funny guy over there. I think it's wrong because those guys are all losers. I think you can just tell by the way they talk that they're lame and that they're slaves to their passions. So, I don't know. It depends on who you're talking to. We can't solve every conversation that you're going to have with people in advance, but I think we just have to believe more firmly that Christianity is true and everything that Christianity teaches is true. And then if you just assume that, then everything else kind of looks dumb in comparison. So that's how I operate. And I don't know if that's really what the question was, but I feel like maybe that's kind of somewhat helpful.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if they were trying to be like, I know red pilling is wrong. How are the red pill guys wrong? Or like, how exactly are they wrong? Because I can't figure it out.
If you have a follow-up, go to the bit.ly/crunchdiscord and ask us to clarify, because we'd be happy to talk about it more. Yes. Patreon.com/thecrunch. If you like this show and you like the dating advice that we give, we are on a mission. We are on a journey to get 200 patrons by the end of 2024. If you sign up between today, May 2nd, 2024, and December 31st, 11:59 p.m., 2024, you will get something. And I still don't know what it is because we are recording this about 40 minutes after we recorded the last podcast and we haven't had a chance to talk about it. You will get something wonderful.
It's so funny to me because, like, for them, they're hearing it for the second time after a couple of days. So it's reinforced. But this is the second time you've said it in the last hour. So it's just like time.
It's crazy, man, how it works. It's
the last frontier.
Yeah. Patreon.com/thecrunch. If you give $10 a month, you get a bonus episode. If you give $20 a month, you get a bonus episode, and you get to come to my funeral one day. You get the address put into an auto. I give your address to my lawyer, and he sends you an invite the day that I die, no matter when it is. So, come on down. Patreon. What could be better than that, huh? Patreon.com/thecrunch. That's the place to be. Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
Steph, please update us. Please, please. Your sister cannot marry that guy. Oh my gosh, please.
Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We will be praying for you. We'll see you all next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.